No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Jigsaw Copycat. This shit's gonna go sideways fast. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about. Why did I say it like that?
You are also doing like the little like,
yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd, and all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base,
even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name's Jesse, and I'm leaving that entire dumpster fire in for everyone. The people need
should.
To know.
Yeah. Everybody needs to know that you shimmied a little bit when you were doing the opening.
I can't help it. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm so excited to talk about Spiral. I get some saw action, and I get Sam Jackson.
I know. This is probably the only time it's going to happen on this podcast.
It's amazing.
I think we have to take a moment to appreciate that. We have both Chris Rock and Sam Jackson in a horror movie on this.
We live in a world where it is on celluloid. Samuel L. Jackson saying, oh, you want to play a game, motherfucker. It's amazing.
It's great.
We deserve this.
The Saw series deserved this.
Yeah.
They earned it.
Okay. I don't have any announcements.
Okay.
Oh, I do have an announcement. Looking at schedules through mouth. This Sunday, To Be or Not To Be.
Oh, yeah, it is,
so,
isn't it? Yeah.
And it's actually going to be my pick. And we realized that we done goofed up A.A. Ron because Travis picked 2 months in a row. So guess what that means? I'm picking this month and I'm picking our prom movie.
Oh, shit. That is going to be a prom one, isn't it?
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that on Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. Poll results?
All right. Yeah. Poll results. So last week we talked about Predator. And I just wanted to know what was the best line from the movie. Only had 4 options, obviously, since, you know, that's the limit.
Yeah.
So it was, get to the chopper. I ain't got time to bleed. You're one ugly motherfucker. And if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Okay.
So over on Twitter, 27% voted for get to the chopper. 33%, I ain't got time to bleed. 20%, you're one ugly motherfucker. 20%, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Over on Instagram, 35% get to the choppa, 47% I ain't got time to bleed, 12% you're one ugly motherfucker, and 6% if it bleeds, we can kill it. I kind of agree with the people here. I ain't got time to bleed. It's one of the most badass
things
ever. It's so fucking good.
You know what? You're in that situation. No, you do not have time to bleed.
I ain't got time to bleed.
I do not have time.
But you do have time to duck.
Do you?
Either. I think so. Okay, cool. Okay. So that was our poll.
Yay.
All right.
So now we're going to talk about Spiral from the Book Ba-da-da. Of Saw. This released May 14th, 2021. Wide release. We watched it on our 4K and our Blu-ray because the 4K just gave
up. It died. It straight up died. We've had issues with it in the past, I remember. And It craps out at the scene where he's doing the raid in the drug dealer's apartment.
Yeah, when he's at the meth dealer.
It just straight
breaking
up,
a leg.
It cut. Like, it just stopped working. I can't even get it to load the disc anymore. So I popped in the Blu-ray, and we finished the rest that way.
Yeah. But if you don't have an option for a 4K or a Blu-ray, currently it's streaming on Hulu. It's streaming on a Hulu.
Fubo
TV.
Yeah, I knew what was happening there.
Sling TV Premium and YouTube TV Premium.
That's just efficient, Jesse. You're just saving time. Everybody
just
knows.
Just them all at once.
Yeah, Hulu.
You can also rent it from Prime, Google Play, YouTube, or Fandango at home.
Hmm.
Okay. Written by heroes in our house, Josh Stolberg and Pete Goldfinger.
Yes.
Directed by Darren Lynn Bousman. Music by Charlie Clouser. And there were so many people on the special effects team. The makeup artists, I've got Patrick Baxter, Tracy Louder, and there's like too many people involved with the prosthetics. But once again, we do have returning as the head for the prosthetics, Francois Dejeuner.
Yeah, they mentioned, we were watching a little bit of the behind the scenes stuff there, but some of the people working on this have been working on as far back as Saw 2.
Yeah.
So it's like a very tight knit.
Little
project here.
And there are so many prosthetics involved, and they had a ton of people that were doing the prosthetics, doing the molding. I wouldn't be able to list out all of the names.
Yeah, all practical, too.
Yeah.
No CG for this.
Yeah, when The tongue trap, actually. Sorry, this was really cool. They made a tongue mold for him, and he was biting down on it with his real mouth.
There was a lot of cool things with that scene. Yeah, I want to break that down when we get to that. Yeah.
Okay, starring Chris Rock as Zeke Banks, Samuel L. Jackson as Marcus Banks, Max Minghella as William Shank, and Marisol Nichols as Angie Garza.
Nice, nice.
All right, Travis. Time for our favorite game. Budget or Buckthead?
This is definitely going to be budget because they got like some names behind it this time. So they were probably able to command a little bit more money than a normal Saw movie, I would guess.
You are in fact correct. This is a $20 million budget.
Nice. That's like double the normal Saw budget.
Yeah. Well, they rued the day. Because the opening box office was $8.7 million and the worldwide gross was $40.6 million. However, I do need to remind everybody.
Big fat asterisk there.
It released right when theaters were starting to show movies again. Yep. And people were still nervous. We were still nervous. This was actually our first movie that we saw in theaters after the lockdowns.
Yeah.
There's a picture of the two of us plus my mom wearing masks in the movie theater. Like, first movie back!
Yeah, it was a weird time.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird to think
about.
Would
you say perhaps that the time was unprecedented?
Unprecedented times. You know what? That's great. Let's start putting in all of the marketing regarding this weird event that's happening. Yeah.
Okay. And it has a 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I mean, it could be a lot better, but you still got to remember this is a horror movie.
That's true. All right. I pulled three movies. Again, it's not my most creative theme. There were a lot of movies in 2021 because there were a lot of movies that got pushed back.
Yeah.
I went with sequels/reboots.
I have a feeling Halloween Kills is going to be on here, isn't it?
I thought about it and then I didn't.
Really?
Because we tend to throw that one out for a lot of 2021.
That's true.
So yeah. I went a different route.
All right. Well, I'm still intrigued. Let's hear it.
The first one is Don't Breathe 2.
I still have not seen that one.
Haven't seen it. There's no wallows in it. So.
Is that really the thing wallows or we walk?
Well, you know, after you see the turkey baster in the first one, it's hard to have any trust in a movie.
I mean, it's not just that. It's just like I didn't really feel like that one needed a sequel.
Yeah.
And like I know that I am a sucker for a lot of movies that don't need sequels, but that one especially, I just like, I don't know. Like it's kind of like A Quiet Place too. Like you did it fine the first time. Yeah.
That released August 13th, 2021. I couldn't find a budget on it, but it did have a worldwide gross of $53 million.
Okay.
And it has a 6.0 out of 10 on IMDb, so people liked it.
Okay.
You know who didn't like this next one I'm going to talk about?
Who?
Both of us.
Oh, 2021 that we didn't like.
It's a requel.
It's a requel. Fuck. I feel like I should know this.
Wrong turn.
Ah, that was really 2021?
Yep.
Why do I feel like that was a pre-COVID movie?
I don't know.
That's weird.
It released February 26, 2021. Couldn't find a budget on it. It's got a worldwide gross of $4.8 million and an IMDb score of 5.6 out of 10.
Yeah. That's the bizarre part right there, the 5.6 out of 10.
Here's the thing. For a movie to qualify as a wrong turn movie, it is not necessarily sufficient, but it is necessary for there to be both hooting and hollering.
You need both.
And it is not present in this one.
Yeah, I don't even think bows and arrows are either.
Yeah,
I
don't just think. It's rude.
It's very rude. It's disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I know it's
disrespectful
the man.
To such a look proud legacy.
I understand it's the guy that created the original, but still, like, you can still disrespect your own shit.
Yeah,
don't do that to yourself, dude.
Yeah, listen to the way I talk about myself.
Yeah.
Okay. And the third one, Nia DaCosta's Candyman.
Ah, okay.
And I always feel the need to say Nia DaCosta. A lot of people
don't you mean Jordan Peele's Candyman? He totally made that movie. They just needed to slap his name on there because everybody's like, ooh, Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. It sucks for her, though. Yeah. Like,
yeah. That's why, like, I want her name out there.
Yeah, for sure.
That was released August 27th, 2021. We also saw this one in theaters.
Yep, I remember.
Budget of $22 million and a worldwide gross of $77 million, a 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb.
That was a good one. I liked it a lot. Yeah. I remember liking it.
It was really good.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about those movies in full at some point on the show.
I would like to also, yeah.
Okay. Are you ready to be a little bummed out?
Sure.
There's only one tagline.
There's only one?
Only one.
Is it from the Book of Saw?
No.
Or is that part of the title?
I think it's technically part of the title. Nobody ever says it. It's not listed that way on IMDb.
Yeah.
Discover a new chapter.
That's so lame, man. Come on. There's tons of potential here. You could have done something with Sam Jackson.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Okay, so obviously this movie was originally scheduled to premiere in May 2020, so it was always going to be a Mother's Day movie. Weird, but I suppose if you're trying to take the franchise in a new direction...
if it's Mother's Day, it's soft.
So Chris Rock, the way this came about is that Chris Rock was at a friend's wedding in, I want to say it was Brazil, I didn't write it down, and he met a Lionsgate executive named Michael Burns. They started talking. He thought it would be a good idea to take his career, like, maybe in a horror direction. He hadn't done that before, wanted to see what that would be about, and he ended up coming up with an idea because he's a big fan of the Saw franchise, basically, cool. Since they started.
That's what I remember hearing that back in the time that this was coming out.
Yeah, so he approached Lionsgate. He was like, you know, I want to do this thing. I want to expand the franchise. I want it to go, you know, make it a bigger universe, and they really liked that idea. They struggled to find writers that would make the kind of script that they were going for, because they really wanted to make sure that they incorporated humor and wit. They wanted it to be different than the other Saws while still being faithful to the roots of it.
Well,
it just so happens that Josh Stolberg and Pete Goldfinger were working on a script that focused primarily on John Kramer not really paying attention to his mentees. And that is an idea that would go on to eventually become 2023's Saw.
So they were working on that before this.
Yeah. Wow. They'd been working on it for a while, but they ended up being approached to work on this. They come up with about 8 different versions of a story for it, and they ended up merging one of those ideas with Chris Rock's ideas. And,
really?
Yeah, and that's how they came up with the script. Let's see. They intentionally didn't bring Tobin Bell back, but there was like a lot of discussion the entire time they were filming, like literally up until the last day of filming.
Seriously?
Yeah, because this is the only movie in the entire franchise as of now that doesn't feature him in anything other than like photographs. Like, yeah. We don't even have his voice, which we almost did, because they had him record a cover of a Johnny Cash song, do not know which one.
What?
Yeah, and they were going to play that over the closing credits, and then Bowsman was like, that's too gimmicky.
So, no fucking way.
Yeah.
I want that. I love the ending song that we have on this, but like a fucking like John Kramer cover of Johnny Cash.
Yeah. I want the tape. Release the mixtape.
Yeah, release it. Come on. No, the way he was talking, like, there's a lot of shit that could have went into this movie for an unrated cut. Give us the Johnny Cash cut. That's what we're going to do.
Give us the Cash cut.
Yeah.
That's wilder than them wanting to mix his blood into the posters.
I know. Look, people, we can do this. They did it with the Snyder cut. We can make this happen.
Give us the Cash cut. They also had considered doing a post-credit scene with him mentoring, like, a child, William. I forget what his like actual last name is, but
Shank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had considered showing them meeting up and him teaching him, like starting to take him under his wing, but they ultimately decided against that too, because they really wanted this to be an actual copycat. For that same reason, they didn't use Billy the Puppet.
Oh, like that.
Which was kind of a thing too for Tobin Bell. He was like, you know, if Billy's there, I kind of really want to be there.
Like, oh, did he want to be part of it?
He actually, I guess, was talking about maybe like an origin with where Billy the Puppet came about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. And they, you know, so they replaced him with Mr. Snuggles, and that that is the pig puppet's official name is Mr. Snuggles.
Fun fact, that's also the nickname for all of our pets.
Yeah. Especially Scout. Yeah. they also wanted to not use his voice because they felt that it was too iconic in all of the tapes, so they struggled really hard to find a voice to do for those tapes, and it was like up until like 2 days before they were done with the sound mixing that they actually found a voice that they were gonna use.
Isn't that weird? I feel like I made that exact voice whenever I edited yours on the last episode.
Well, and that's the thing, is that they ended up just using computer editing.
I did it in like 5 seconds. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was easy.
Darren Lynn Bozeman swore that he would never direct another Saw film after Saw 4. Uh-huh. But Chris Rock was adamant that he had to be the one to direct. And Bozeman actually turned down an opportunity to direct a Broadway show to come back for this.
I mean, if Chris Rock is like, hey man, you gotta direct this movie for me, like, what are you gonna say? Like,
I mean, like, I would say I have zero experience, but if you want me to, I will, Mr. Rock.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're going to get the blame because you're the one that asked me, but like, fuck yeah, I'm going to do it. Actually, no, the blame would go on me for sure, so.
And then finally, the principal photography did take place in Toronto from July 8th, 2019 to August 28th, 2019.
Okay.
So those are generally my fun facts.
Very cool. This is an interesting little one. I'm really happy that they went with the direction of doing the copycat.
Yes, I think we didn't need another one of his, like, what do we call them? They're not mentees. There's a different term that a lot of apprentice. We didn't need another apprentice story. No. Like, it was getting a little bit like,
yeah.
Recycle.
It's just, it would be funny if they hyped up like the replacement in the last one, and then in the next one they're like, and here's another. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't, it's like, work.
We just completely ignored that. Yeah, which I mean we did anyway, but it would have been weirder if we went straight into another apprentice story.
Okay, well, I guess this is a good segue into our good, yeah, bad, ugly, and absurd.
Starting with the good.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, I like the different feel that this one has to it. It's kind of a fresh take on the series, which, mm-hmm, I appreciate. Like, this is this is 9.
Yeah, this is the 9th installment.
Saw 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, it's nice to shake it up a little bit. Like, I've been saying for, like, the past few movies we've covered, like, let's move on from Tobin a little bit. Like, I know he's iconic, but you can't keep going back in time.
Like, you just keep finding ways to flashback with him. And that was one of the things that I was reading, too, is that they're like, you know, we keep doing flashbacks with him, and maybe, you know, especially if we're trying to make it definitively, like, not a sequel, not a reboot, mm-hmm, like, why don't we just, you know, not?
It would be great.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is, like, all of the stuff that happened in those movies is a very tight timeline, and you're jamming all of this shit that he did in such a short amount of time. Like, it's going to be excessive once you get to a certain point. But then again, it's a fucking movie. You don't have to really take it that seriously.
Oh, but people do.
But people do. Yeah. But no, I really enjoyed the take on this. I liked the copycat aspect. I liked that we went back to it being like a cop type thing, like the original movie.
Yeah.
I
do think it's funny because we were all like, my mom was here watching it with us. And when they're like, Jigsaw's never targeted cops before, we all went, liar.
Yeah, like, that's like, yeah, there's a whole thing with that. I mean, it's like Rig, you know what I mean? But then again, you could say that was Hoffman, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they cops have been targets of Jigsaw since the very, he's never exclusively targeted them.
No,
but yeah, no, the cops have always been a target.
And that's another thing that I like about this. I like that they went and they applied it to like a one area, so like a corrupt police department, mm-hmm, rather than just taking like drug addicts and people like down on their luck doing bad shit to get by.
Yeah,
like this time, like, okay, these are like objectively like terrible people abusing
that
their
have
power.
Made conscious decisions to be horrible to other people.
Yeah, when they're expected to use that power for what should be good. But here's a bunch of people that are just a bunch of, like, terrible people. I don't know. I like that they, like, actually, like, used it towards, because, I mean, like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool that you get somebody, like, I mean, it's, like, it's fucked up. that like they're targeting corrupt police, but it's still an interesting take.
But also, I think it's kind of really awesome for this movie that they talked about this mm-hmm. in such a popular franchise at a time that this was such a talking point in general for yeah. people. I'm not saying that this is the first time police have ever, you know, targeted citizens.
No.
But it, you know, it definitely reached ahead right around 2020.
Well, it's like really interesting too that they filmed it in 2019 and then the following year you had like the whole George Floyd thing, and then
yeah.
that was such a huge thing about police brutality, and it just kind of came out at the right time.
But I mean, that had been happening for years, and you I don't want to make a leap in an assumption.
I feel like he probably brought the idea of like him being a detective, because I feel like just something about seeing him just makes me think he probably is like, yeah, I want to be a cop. Like, I want to like play a cop on screen, because yeah. it's just kind of fun. Like, he wanted the shades and the cool car and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, Chris Rock definitely strikes me as a nerd.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's like my main good stuff there. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. Like, I like the traps a lot in this one too, but that's kind of like, yeah. Most Saw movies.
Yeah. I'm going to say for me that I, you know, besides the stuff I was chiming in with mm-hmm. you, I like that they kept the soap opera-ness that, you know, came to be expected with the later Saw entries. I like that they didn't shy away from that. They kept it as dramatic. I love the odes to the backwards baseball cap with giant mustache.
I know. I feel like they leaned into it with that.
And it's great. There's no way that Chris Rock wasn't like, let's put a backwards baseball cap on me.
He's admitted fan of the series. He probably laughed his ass off when he saw that.
Oh my God. He had like,
I want to do a scene where I get one too. And Sam Jackson's like, and give me a mustache. Motherfucker.
Yeah, so I like that you can tell that this was made with an appreciation for the movies, and they definitely tried to make it their own also. It looks very intentional that they were going to try and do it differently, so that way it could be its own thing, but mm-hmm. also be enough of the DNA of the franchise that it firmly belongs, unlike, say, Wrong Turn.
Yeah, exactly. Same tune as that. I like the new puppet because I like that they made it a pig.
Yeah, and like it takes that thing, you know, from the original John Kramer's whole Zodiac Year of the Pig thing.
Yeah,
and it applies it
to the cop. He's like a pig. Cop. Yeah,
yes, it's so perfect to do it that way. And the way clever. Like they do the mirror imaging, you know, in that one video they got Mr. Snuggles lift up the gun
towards
the camera. The way they do that with Marcus at the end, it's just great. It's awesome. Little touches like that are great.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm glad they brought Darren Lynn Bozeman back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. Are we done with the goods?
I think so.
Okay, so on to the bads. Well, I like Chris Rock, but I don't think that his acting suits this type of movie too well. I appreciate him wanting to branch out and do like a different type of thing, but like it just didn't really, like, he's trying to do like serious line delivery and it's hard to take him seriously because he's, you know, like a comedian, and a lot of his delivery of lines, like, I don't know. It's just kind of hard to take certain things seriously. Like whenever he's talking about like divorce and shit like that, like, I don't know. He's joking around. Like, it's hard to tell if when he's joking and when he's being serious, and when he is acting serious, it's never exactly like, it's not like a compelling performance.
Yeah, I don't know if it's his performance or if it's those specific lines of dialogue or if it's every time he's supposed to be looking serious, they do those like shaky cam cuts, except they kind of stabilize his face almost in the middle of it.
He's like, but keep this clear.
Yeah, so I don't know which one of those, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I like when people try and go out of, you know, their typecast, and, you know, especially like if I was able to like get myself into a Saw movie like he did, I would absolutely do it too.
Even
100%. If I had no business, and I don't have any business being in the Saw movie, but I would still do it.
Yeah. And, if somebody was like, yeah, do you want to be a producer? I'm like, only if I can also be in it. Yeah. And they're like, well, Okay. So, yeah. You're a producer. I guess you have the right to do that.
And the only other thing is I feel like this series is so good with twists, but this one, I called it right when we were watching it in the theater. Like,
well, because they don't show his trap.
Exactly. Like, they skip over his, and it's like, yeah, of course he's going to be responsible, and he just mysteriously disappears. That doesn't fucking happen. They show it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, twist wasn't really that great. Yeah, and he's not exactly an ideal, copycat guy, I guess. I don't know.
I loved his, like, unhinged monologue when he was talking about his, like, taking down the system. We're applying the spiral, the evolution. We're taking it, instead of to a person, we're taking it systemically. Like, I loved the way he was going about
it. I really appreciate that it's, like, a radicalized, like, yeah, like, I'm trying to, like, he's trying to do something good, but he's doing it in the worst possible way.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's kind of cool. Like, I like that, but just, I don't know.
I think
maybe some tweaks. We could have had, like, a really interesting character here, but he's just kind of like a yes man, and then he's just kind of, like, gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I think it would have been better if him and Chris Rock had better chemistry when they were together, but you could tell that they, like, it's,
we don't get that moment of them really truly starting to bond. It just goes from them hating each other to
tolerating.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of written in a way where it seems like it's supposed to be like they're actually becoming close and respecting each other, but I don't really feel like I truly get that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like it would have been cool to, like, have better chemistry, or, like, you know, show them getting closer a little bit more or something, you know, because it would have made the twist a little bit more impactful.
Okay. I guess this is kind of an extension of some of what you were saying, but I think that the flashbacks weren't effective because they were just done in such a way. It felt very like ABC Family teen drama mystery. Yeah. Like, we're getting this bit of a flashback, and the next time we see most of that, but we add 30 seconds to it. Like,
yeah,
I don't.
It's like they
It feels like it's spoon feeding us a little bit too much, which is not what we come to the Saw franchise for. Like, we want those hints and bits and pieces, but it's like very like, ha ha, here's the connection.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to be able to piece it together and be like, oh, it makes sense.
Yeah. Just, they needed to just pull back a little bit.
It just felt like they're like, it's a Saw movie. We got to have at least like 10 flashbacks minimum, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, let's just keep adding on to the same flashback. Yeah. Over and
that's,
over again.
That's the thing, is that the flashbacks weren't always adding anything to the story.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I feel like the ugly is pretty obvious in this movie. You know, the police brutality corruption and shit like that. Yeah, it's very like Article 8, was it?
Yeah.
Was that a real thing?
I don't know.
I'm going to look that up.
I really don't know.
Yeah, because I'm curious, because, like, it's like the whole reason why every cop is such a bad person in this area, apparently. So you can go ahead and go with yours. I'm going to type this up real quick.
Yeah, I think for me that it, you know, on top of, you know, the whole police brutality thing, we've got the way Banks, Zeke, Chris Rock's character, the way he generally talks about marriage and women. And, like, I get it. He's bitter, but, like, it feels overly generalized. I do like that they also write in Shank being like, well, maybe you're getting divorced because women don't like being called bitches. I do like that line being thrown in, but it's just a lot. And again, I feel like there's a better way to demonstrate somebody going through some shit besides just being slammed in the face by all of this. You know what I mean?
It's the same thing with, like, any gender, like, saying, like, ah, men or women are terrible just because you've had a bad experience with them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, nobody likes it. It's kind of, yeah, it's not exactly a good look.
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently, like, Article 8 was, like, a thing for the movie, I think, because I looked it up, and I don't really think that it was a real thing. It just brought me something about India, and I'm like, that doesn't apply to Sawville, I don't believe, unless Sawville may be in India.
I mean, we don't
really
know,
but we don't know, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Absurd? Let's see. I have, I like, at the very beginning, we just get Chris Rock doing stand-up about Forrest Gump. I feel like this is, like, a bit from his stand-up routine or
it's
something.
It's a bit that every like incel on the internet has said at one point or the other. Like, it's not. I think it goes in line with his character. I get that it goes in line with his character, but it's just like, God, I'm so sick of people being like, here's the thing about Forrest Gump. Like, they're giving some brand new information. I do like his delivery of it.
It's funny. I'm actually laughing at it. He's a funny guy. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, when he delivers these types of lines, like, it just felt like him doing stand-up.
It does feel like him doing stand-up. I just, you know, wish he used something newer. You know what I mean? Like, something a little bit more creative.
The first line we get from him is, Tom Hanks is a straight pimp. Like, come on. It's great. But it's absurd at the same time. And we've already talked about it, but the Zeke backwards cap and mustache. They gave him the mustache and the cap, and then Sam Jackson just got the mustache.
Oh, no, he got a goatee.
Oh, he got the goatee.
Yeah, he got the Kramer goatee and cap.
Yeah, it's just so stupid. I love that they embraced it, though, and leaned into it. Oh, yeah. You know that they did.
Absolutely. My absurd. God, you took all of the good absurds.
About the fact that they had a fucking trap in the basement of the police department.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, right. But how?
Listen, I'll defend most of these traps in this movie. A lot of people hate the finger trap because, like, he could just get out of the tub. I'm like, did you take a look at the tub?
Are you serious?
He could not. He absolutely could not just stand out of the tub. The walls are too high. Like,
and it dragged him, like, up into the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get how her severing her spinal cord was going to stop the machine. Like, we don't see a button or anything that would, like, trigger the thing to stop dripping the wax on her.
Yeah, I don't really, unless it's like the draw some blood and then I'll set you free buckethead trap,
like,
thing.
Yeah, like watching, except we know for a fact that he wasn't, because he ran out and stabbed that other cop to distract them so Angie would be in the trap.
That's true. That's true.
So we don't know we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
So yeah, that's it. I will have all of the disbelief in the world for these movies, but that one I need a tiny bit more.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit more.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. So what are you rating it?
Despite most people's opinion on this, I really like this one. I think it's a really good movie. I'm gonna give it an 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay.
I agree. I don't think that this movie deserves the hate that it gets. It is different. It's meant to be different. And I don't think the traps are as implausible as... they're not outside of the realm of plausibility compared to other Saw movies. Let's not act like that's a deal breaker.
It is kind of interesting. Like, I always have to remind myself, I have to turn my brain off, but every single one of these people are just like genius engineers that can design this shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, and this guy was poor, like, you know what I mean? Like, his family was not, he lost his dad as a child, and they were not living in like a good, like, a very wealthy area.
Yeah, his dad was like a janitor, maybe?
It's something like that.
Because he was like wearing that. A type of uniform.
It was
uniform.
Just like an apartment, you know? And it wasn't like a swanky apartment or anything. Mm-mm. So, like, I know he didn't come from money. So, like, I don't know how he was able to get all this shit, but I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Yeah, you got to turn off your brain.
All right.
So, we did it.
Yeah, 7.75.
7.75.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Support for What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Shaving your jewels doesn't always have to be risky business anymore, thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This trimmer is all about keeping things smooth and safe so you can trim with confidence. Treat your wrinkle berries and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com to get 20% off plus free shipping with code LEASTFAVE20. With Manscaped, it's easy grooming, no surprises.
Mm. We all know it's a little bit dangerous going down there to try and take care of that area. But
who wants to nick your balls?
Nobody does. We know.
I don't have balls and I don't want to nick them.
Every dude gets the heebie-jeebies when it's time for a close shave down under, especially when using the wrong tools. That's precisely why Manscaped is my go-to for those delicate spots. Meet the star of the show, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth where your heart desires. Also features dual LED spotlights, that way you know exactly what you're going to be cutting at. Also, worried if you'll make a mess? This thing is waterproof, so you can take it in the shower, get yourself cleaned up, clean up the aftermath.
Up the razor itself also. And even if you don't use it in the shower, honestly, I've found that I don't see the trimmings around the bathroom nearly as much as I do with your other razors.
It's true.
It creates less of a mess in general. Also, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like you're shaving more now that it's...
I kind of am.
Yeah, like... yeah.
I mean, it's like giving me a nice little shave, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoy it. I use it on my face. I use it, you know, everywhere else that I need to. Yeah. We don't have to go into the details of all of that. I also like to appreciate the compact case that this thing has because we can store it under the sink nice and neat.
We have a teeny tiny bathroom and it's nice to know that we don't have to worry about... the shaver, the charger, and all of the accessories that come with it. We don't have to worry about losing those because they come in the nice little shed compact case. Mm-hmm. And even cooler is that the blade guards, if you're trimming your face, you just want to take a little off the top, you've got different options with it. So it's like basically a 3-in-1
you
for
can
each
just
of the,
on the fly.
Of the
yeah.
guards. Yeah.
You don't have to like stop, turn yeah. it off, put the new one on. No, you just... slide that bad boy down.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
Yeah, you click it up, click it down, and it gives you a bunch of different options with a single guard. It's really, mm-hmm. really convenient.
So trust us, this trimmer will be your crown jewel's new best buddy. So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code LeaseFave20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code LeaseFave20 at manscaped.com. Show your boss some love and feel free as a dove.
All right. So we start off at a carnival. How fun, how yeah. festive, how yeah. scary because there's fucking fireworks going on.
Yeah, it's
don't
like
want
a
any part of that.
4th of July, right? I'm pretty sure it's 4th of July.
Yeah, it's definitely July.
Or it could be whatever holiday Sawville chooses to celebrate, you know,
yeah.
their own independence from the world.
Maybe it's their independence from John Kramer.
Oh my God, they probably would have a whole parade just for that.
Yeah, what, if slow ass motherfucking Jeff wasn't dead, like he'd be the king of the parade. Yeah. Which is perfect because parades move so slow.
I feel like he would be like even slower for a parade though. Like he like leads it, he walks at the front of it, but he like stops to just like check out random shit. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. We got a cop, he's walking around patrolling.
He's dressed kind of spiffy. He's in his nice little white sport coat with a little pork pie hat. Like,
is that what those are called? I was going to say, he's got one of those nice little hats.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a pork pie, if it's a straw. I don't know what it is, but
it's
he's feeling himself.
Yeah, it's like almost a top hat, but not.
Yeah.
I mean, he sees a pickpocket, still a purse from a lady, which is a pretty massive pickpocket.
And you know what, though? I like that he chases after, because he could have been like,
fuck it.
I'm plain clothes. They don't know I'm a cop.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, it's like they're all kind of corrupt here, so he could have easily just kind of be like, yeah, fuck it.
So he chases this person, and this person is going into the sewer through like a manhole. But somebody sets off like firecrackers or something at his feet, and he turns around and points his gun at the firecrackers, and I'm like, what are you gonna shoot the fireworkers?
That's just fireworks like, that's just like the cop, you know, like that's the instinct. Just like something happens, gun.
It just makes me think of The Office where Andy's like, the fire is shooting at us.
And he could have thought it was shooting, like, yeah. I don't know, I've never been in a moment where I've had a gun and that's happened to me. I don't know how I would react.
He gets down into the tunnel. He sees a mannequin, but he doesn't realize it's a mannequin at first. And once that realization hits him, we keep a Saw classic.
Yeah.
A good old fashioned pig napping.
Good old a pig napping. Okay, so this is cool. We got some things to talk about with this scene because we watched the special features where they. Darren Lynn Bozeman went down on like a deep dive of how this was all done.
He wanted to film this in an actual subway track. And yeah, they were like, no, for about 20 different reasons. Too expensive to close down a subway. There's the issue of the third rail. So yeah, we don't want to kill our actors. Mm-hmm. You know, just we can't do it. And he was like, it's really important, though, that we have this as this first scene. This is how the trap has been envisioned. So he convinced them to build a subway station. However, they only built half of it, and honestly, not even really half, because a lot of it is Looney Tunes style painting on a wall.
Yeah, it was so cool. So like that down stretch through the tunnel where you see the train coming later, that's all of them just painting that there. Yeah, they just use forced perspective to trick your brain into thinking that that's actually a tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they only did one side of it, so anytime that they had to film this, it would have to flip them backwards. That way you could see the back of it, but it's all the same shot that you're seeing the entire time.
I can tell you that they're going to take a million different shots from a million different angles anyway. So it seems like it's worth it to, you know, save the money and just turn them around.
I mean, I would have never known until he mentioned that this is what they did.
Because I feel like subway tunnels look the same throughout. Yeah. So you wouldn't really know it was like repeating itself.
And this is all practical, too. So he's got like a fake tongue in his mouth there being
the
hung
up. The tongue has like taste buds and everything.
Yeah, he like did a zoom in and just circled it. The attention to detail is pretty impressive with this stuff right here.
The only thing that they really like did digitally with this was they had to kind of make his mouth look a little bit smaller, because obviously with his actual tongue inside, it you know, kind of had some issues. And then they also had to make the fake tongue wiggle in the vise.
Yeah.
But yeah, the tongue itself and everything, it's all, and it hanging from his mouth, that's all practical.
Yeah, it's, oh God, I can't imagine. This is probably also one of the most gnarly traps from this movie.
This movie kills me, because for most of these traps, the people are making the decision to do the thing, but they do it too late.
That's what happens with him.
Yeah, so because he lies on witness stands and railroads innocent people, he's got to make the choice to rip out his tongue or be, you know, do nothing and be hit by a subway. Yep. So he jumps at the last second, which doesn't really do anything besides we see his tongue being pulled out. Apparently, it got cut down. It was going to be even gnarlier than what we saw, which was already pretty gnarly. But they filmed the whole thing when you see like part of his throat coming out with the tongue, too. Ooh.
Apparently the MPA, MPAA,
they
kind of had their fingerprints all over this movie, and he kind of got frustrated watching this stuff, talking about it.
Yeah, at like one point, he's like,
so great.
Yeah, he's like, all right. He just walked off at the end of the special feature. Like, he's like,
this is making me sick.
He like closed his iPad. He's like, bye.
Okay, so yeah, he bites the tongue off a little bit too late, and then the train hits him, and he's dead.
Yeah. Yep. Then we cut to Chris Rock doing the world's oldest stand-up bit about Forrest Gump. And then as soon as he's done, they pull on their balaclavas and they go bust into a drug dealer's room, demand all the drugs, demand all the money, go down, get in their getaway car in a single car garage, apparently. I don't know hotels had that.
I didn't either, yeah.
But when the door lifts, it's a bunch of cops and they're like, oh, shit. And then one of the cops is like, Zeke?
Amateur move from that cop, because you know he's probably undercover, or maybe you caught him.
Well,
doing something illegal there.
The problem is that we cut to Chief Angie Garza reaming him out, because this was not an approved undercover mission.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy that he did that. That he's just like decided one day, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna like go undercover and just join a gang.
Yeah, you know? And like, she's like, it's been 12 years, you need to get over it. Okay, so we're gonna have this going on a lot throughout the movie. And she's like, you're gonna get partnered with a rookie, somebody to hold you accountable. Just because your dad was Chief Marcus fucking Banks doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want. So she kind of like yells exposition at him and at us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So like they just bring it up pretty much that he turned in a dirty cop and was punished.
Yeah.
So,
and people are still mad about it 12 years later. I feel like everybody needs to move on. She needs to not just tell him to get over it. She needs to tell everybody.
Yeah. Everybody still hates him, but he broke the code. So I guess none of them can trust him anymore. I don't know. That's really
the problem is that the cop, the dirty cop, broke the code first, you know, by just shooting a guy.
I mean, that could be part of cop code.
Well, yeah, because he was doing it to protect another cop.
Exactly,
that killed another man. It just, it's a cycle of cops killing civilians, killing cops, killing civilians.
Yeah, it's just, it's a bunch of dirtiness right there.
Yeah, you could say it spiraled out of control.
You could say that, yes.
Should we say it? I think we should say it.
We should say that, yeah.
Okay.
So they are called into a crime scene immediately.
Well, hold on. He meets his new partner.
Oh, yes.
William Shank, which means that as a team, they are Shank and Banks.
Shank and Banks. Yeah.
He, you know, is apparently a big fan of Marcus Banks, says his dad's the whole reason that he's here. Then they get a call for what they suspect is an unhoused person that's been hit by a train.
Yeah.
But when they get down there, they're like, okay, well, first of all, here's a TV. First of all, here's a wedding ring. First of all, here's a Fitbit.
Also, before that, that's when they had, like, the whole talk about, you know, the life of, like, cops and, like, the cop wife aspect.
And we get to see that Zeke Banks don't drive a normal patrol car. Mm-hmm. He drives his own ride. And you know what? Respect.
They probably took his cop car away.
Yeah, they're like, we don't need you to.
Yeah, you're paying for your own mileage.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
You cover the gas costs.
Yeah. And he doesn't even have like a like sirens at top. He's just got to get like a megaphone and go whoop whoop. Wee-woo, wee-woo. Yeah. Okay, so
they get back to the station, and there is like a little gift box, and it's got a flash drive in it. There is a spiral painted, and the voice is like hinting at a jigsaw copycat.
I like how he takes it, and then he walks over to Shank's computer, and he's like, Shank's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm not fucking up my computer. Because that'd be my first thought, too. It's like, this has probably got a virus on it.
Here's the thing, though. It comes across as a dick move, but honestly, it's really pragmatic because he has been a detective there longer, and he probably actually has files that he needs, whereas Shank is a rookie.
First day. Yeah.
Like,
it makes a lot of sense. That's a fresh computer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if it's fucked up, it's not going to be that hard for the guys in IT to, like, fix it.
Yeah. So, okay, yeah, they play the tape. It's basically, they're wanting to reform the department.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize that the shot was at the courthouse, so they go to the courthouse to check it out. They find the spiral there.
Fitch shows up.
Yeah.
He's trying to stake his claim on this because it's a jigsaw copycat, but there is another gift box there, and Banks is like, well, I'm taking it because it's, you know, I got the first one. It was for me, so. And inside is a tongue, clearly had chopped off the other little extra bit, and a badge that says 453, which is Boswick's number. At the station, they're all talking about the case because it's one of their own. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do. Zeke is mad at Fitch because Fitch already contacted Bosman's widow, and basically Zeke's like, you know, he was my only friend in the department.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, it would have made more sense for me to be the
one
to tell her. And that, that actually
just
really...
Yeah,
tracks.
I feel like he was definitely doing that to Zeke because he didn't want Zeke to be able to do that, just like as an extra fuck you.
Yeah, well, because they, you know, he kind of made an allusion to the fact that he only gets, you know, the cases that involve, like, unhoused persons and, you know, like, he doesn't get these high-profile cases.
Yeah, so now he's got his chance.
Yeah.
And they're trying to, like, steal it from him here.
Yeah.
They give it O'Brien given points, so that also pisses Zeke off even more.
Brian O'Brien O'Connor.
Brian O'Brien O'Connor.
And so he storms off, and Angie follows him and takes him into the men's room, makes a dude leave. She's like, leave. And he goes, yep. And he stops midstream, which led to a whole debate in our house if that's even possible for men to do. Because at 2-to-1 ratio here, we don't know.
So I had to be the person to discuss that.
Yeah. And then I was like, ooh, he didn't even wash his hands. And then on the screen, he goes, damn, you're not even going to wash your hands.
For the record, you can. I don't know. Apparently, I didn't realize it was a thing that was like not really known. But
I hadn't really considered it. I don't know what the male pelvic floor musculature area looks like.
No, we got muscles.
Got all the pee-pee muscles.
We're going to get me started on pee-pee muscles. Okay, so he's also now going to go talk to Boss's wife himself.
Yeah, well, Angie does agree to make him the point person. That should be their protocol because he did get the case first.
Yeah.
So he goes back in there and he starts trying to give orders and nobody's listening, and she has to step in and be like, yo, listen to him. One of our own has been killed and we need to work together to figure this out.
Right.
So yeah, he makes Banks change into a suit so they can go pay respects to the widow, and then he doesn't let Banks say a word or come in.
Why did he do that? I don't understand. Like, he's just like, here, entertain the kids. Like, I don't know. So he is there and he's asking Boz's wife if anything happened.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you know how it is as a cop. And he goes, I know, but I need you to really think. And she's like, well, there's a black SUV out here about a week ago and just sitting out front. And Boz went out and started yelling at him. So he's going to take all of his electronics and see if they can find if digital forensics can find anything. When he gets home, he feels like his apartment's been broken into, and in a way it has, because his dad's there.
Yep.
And his dad's like, you pulled a gun on me, I could have shot you. And he goes, I'm the one with the gun. And then he pulls up a gun from behind his whiskey glass, and that's just such a baller move.
It really is, yeah.
And, you know, they kind of argue a little bit, and he's like, you know, we live in the same building, and we haven't even had a meal together in a while. They kind of bicker back and forth, and then this is kind of like a sweet thing. Like, dad doesn't want to admit he has feelings, but he is actually paying attention to what his son says. He goes, listen, we'll talk about the case over some food tomorrow night.
I mean, that's why he came down there in the first place, because he knew that he was close with Boz, so he wanted to check on him. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, it was nice of him.
It was. I think Zeke is at a place where he's mad at the world and he's not trying to deal with it.
Yeah. And we get a flashback as to why he may be mad at the world. So we see Zeke encountering the dirty cop. We don't know mm-hmm. his name yet, but he shot a man because he claims he pulled a gun on him
I love this line delivery every single time it happens. He goes, the witness pulled a gun on you?
Yeah. You can read it in the cop's face that he's full of shit. Like, it's yeah. so obvious, but yeah.
So at the precinct, it's a late night. They're working on the case, and Shank has to borrow Banks's phone because his battery died. And once again, all things come back to Twilight because Zeke says, don't drain my battery watching Twilight.
Hey, shut the fuck up, Zeke.
Yeah.
He can drain it and watch that if that's what he wants to do.
Give the movie a chance, yeah. Zeke. Give it a shot. Maybe you'd be less angry at the world if you just little aha, aha in.
Hey, man, your whole tune changes whenever I show you a truck.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Just go hang out in a lavender field and sparkle.
Sound absolutely ridiculous right now.
Just, we are like, absolutely ridiculous. I thought that was our whole brand.
It kind of is, but okay. Just even for us, like, Okay. So yeah, they're like kind of theorizing that there could be a John Kramer connection because yeah. this is very John Kramer-ish.
Yeah, but you know, he's been dead a while.
Yeah. Finch arrives at the abandoned building. I guess he's got a lead.
So Finch and Krause, they went to a pawn shop that had surveillance cameras facing the general area of the carnival. So they were trying to get that footage. He was not told to do this, cleared to do this, didn't ask to do this, so he's kind of, they're going rogue. He recognizes the person on camera as one of their, like, snitches, Benny Wright, and he knows where he hangs out, so he's gonna go look for him. Then we cut back to the precinct, and this is important, because Zeke sends Shank home, and he calls him William. He's like, go tuck in your kid, William.
Yeah.
So that's their turning point.
Yeah, that's when you know, they're becoming friends.
Yeah.
We get to see Finch. He arrives at that abandoned building where he knows that Benny usually hangs out at, and he sees like a mattress there. So he thinks it's him just sleeping, goes over there and nudges him, but it's a pig mask.
Yep.
Which leads to him getting pig-napped.
Of course. He did try calling Krause and O'Brien and ironically didn't get the backup that he was requesting.
Yeah. Fucking sucks, doesn't it, Finch?
Seems like you should be able to count on your coworkers in this line of duty. So he wakes up in the tub and the tape starts, but we do not watch this game. This is a little bit different than normal.
Yeah,
Normally we go into the full game, and I wonder if maybe they were trying to not set that precedent so that way when we don't see William's game later that it's not supposed to immediately throw us off, but because we never see the game.
Yeah, it's like they want you to forget about it. Yeah, you know what, you could be right. That could be what they were trying to
do. That's my suspicion.
I just thought it was strange, yeah, because like they show the start of it and then they show the crime scene after the fact. And I'm like, oh wait, did we not get to see?
Yeah,
it? Like,
because I remember you were sitting there, you were like, is this a different version? Yeah. So William calls Zeke from home and he's like, listen, I know you guys were close and I don't want to be the one to tell you this, but Boz has been accused of lying on the stand more often than any other cop. And you also hear like crying in the background and he's saying that he's sleep training Charlie, his son.
In hindsight, this is so fucking stupid. Like, you didn't even need to do that. Like, just saying that you have a kid is enough. You don't need to go all the way and be like, oh, but I got the cries.
I like it though.
Yeah, it's a nice.
I like it. If you're really gonna be a John Kramer villain, you've got to be as flamboyant as possible. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The copycat the right way.
What if that would have been Tobin Bell's cameo right there of him just doing baby cries?
You're like an old man going,
I would love it. That would be great.
We have a flashback to Marcus yelling at Zeke for turning in Pete. He's like, you should have come to me first. And he was like, I did the right thing. But when he leaves the office, he tells Angie that he's just worried about the trouble that he's gonna get after turning in a fellow cop. In present, Zeke goes to his dad's apartment and the delivery guy just hands him the food after he confirms he's not the customer.
He's like, are you Marcus Banks? That's right. Yeah,
he's like, I'm his son. He goes, cool.
It's just like, are you this guy? No. All right, here you go.
Was the food prepaid?
I don't, it must have been.
At the station,
yes,
another package has been sent. And this time it's a video with a sparrow on the truck, and Mr. Snuggles says that you need to point your fingers at yourself before pointing them at other people. Or I can't believe that we didn't get the line, like, anytime you point one finger at somebody else, three are pointing back at you.
Ooh, yeah, that could have been a good one.
I'm just honestly kind of surprised that didn't happen. They know where this location is. It's like a bridge that's two blocks away. So they all get there. The truck is there. And inside is a pig and yet another box that has 10 little thingies and a 987 or a 982 badge, which is Fitch's badge. So Bozeman was talking about he had these prop fingers in his suitcase as he was coming back home, and when he got to customs to cross the border from Canada into the United States, they looked through his shit and they were like, why?
I always love stories like these because, like, you gotta explain it. Like, I don't know, I'm like, Saw movies, I'm Darren Lynn Bozeman. Yeah. Come on, man. Let me call Tobin.
You're like, Bozeman sounds Canadian, eh?
Tobin will, no. He like calls Tobin and it's like, Coast is like, yes, hello. So we finally get the game now, right? Or do we get the flashback
to Zeke requesting backup and Fitch saying, fuck him. And then he gets shot in the tum-tum, which could have been really bad. And Marcus comes out and he goes, I want to know why my son was asking for backup for 8 minutes and not a single person responded. And now he's shot. I'm going to call a dispatch and see who was closest. And then I'm going to personally shoot you. And then Fitch was like, it was me. And then he like attacks him.
I feel like the script probably just said, and Sam Jackson does Sam Jackson. Yeah, because he just like goes in there and delivers some very intimidating lines.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is that there's a couple of cool little references to Pulp Fiction specifically. Like, I think Ezekiel's name is a reference to the Bible quote that he does in Pulp Fiction. And then later on down in the cold case storage room, it says Vincent Jules.
Yeah, that's a really cool title. Okay, now we actually get the trap that's going on here. So Fitch's trap is, you know, like the finger trap stuff, like the little like finger traps you used to get when you were a kid.
What is it? No hard feelings, where they get the little trap.
So
he needed to talk to that sweet little baby boy and learn that you push in. I don't think that's how these actually work.
No. So Darren Lynn Bozeman was actually going into detail about how this actually worked. Those were actual functioning finger traps. So like the guy that was playing Fitch was actually like, he had his finger stuck in there. And he said that whenever he was pulling his fingers back, that it was getting tighter each time that he would do that. So they eventually did replace it with prosthetic hands. Whenever the chain pulls them all the way up there, this was like a fully functioning machine too. I don't know how much attention you were paying to this.
Yeah, I was taking some other notes at the same time. So.
For everybody else listening's benefit, they actually had this design, so they said that they had to actually play it safe because they could have actually tore his fingers off here.
Yeah.
So whenever they pull him up with the chains all the way up to the thing, that's where they make the change to prosthetic hands. He's actually got his hands down inside the little thing there, and they just kind of painted around it to hide it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. He was so pissed off about this scene, though, because the MPAA actually butchered this thing. He said he had at least like an hour and a half of footage of this one scene.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. And apparently he was really pissed at himself because they really needed to convey the importance of this, like with the water levels rising. But they didn't get a lot of footage of the water rising, so they had to keep reusing that shot over and over again and try and trick you into thinking that it's rising up.
Well, and here's it really kills me when people are like, this would be the easiest trap to beat. And I'm like, I don't think it would. No. I think people, this is one of those that are like, yeah, I could probably outrace this like Olympic athlete. Like, it's that kind of like you truly don't realize what you're saying.
Yeah.
And the tub is high. It is high up and he is pulled up to that thing. Mm-hmm. There's no way that he could lift himself up.
He's locked in.
And especially with how high up the copper wire is, it's at the rim of the tub.
Yeah.
So it's there's no way.
Yeah, for sure. And they had footage of every single one of the fingers being torn out.
Ugh.
But they wouldn't allow it. And they said if you are to show it, because they had like muscles and bones and all that shit being displayed, like they could they could only display 10 frames at a time of any of that. So that's why we get like just the quick cuts
of it.
That's
why it's so choppy. Okay.
Yeah, it just sucks because like this is the one that pissed him off. He's like, you know what, fuck this shit. He just like stopped the special feature.
I'm done talking about these traps now.
Yeah, that was his first
time
watching it.
That's why we don't get any information about the wax trap. I know. He was so mad about the fingies.
Yeah, but yeah, he was like, that was his first time watching the footage of that since actually editing the movie. He's like, this is fucking pissing me off. Like, I felt bad for him. I was like, oh man, it could have been awesome. It was already awesome.
Here's the thing though, is that he wasn't like loud about it. Like Travis is editorializing, he was more of that quiet pissed off where he's like, yeah, this pissed me off.
It's just like he was trying to go into detail, and every time he would start like a new detail, he's like, no, this is just making me mad. Like he would just keep talking about how mad he's getting the more he watched it. It's kind of funny. So yeah, I mean, that's what happens to him. Like he gets all of his fingers ripped off and it's still too late. The water rises up high enough and he gets electrocuted.
Yeah. And basically the reason he was in there, we didn't actually talk about this. Yeah. He shot a man at a traffic stop because he insulted him.
Yeah.
So, soft. Yeah.
Charmin soft.
Yes. Talk about a delicate little snowflake, right?
I know.
So, Cross tells Banks about the video footage that they went and got. And so he's like, he can't be too mad because they're all like, well, you have motive to kill Fitch. And he's like, I'm also lead on this case. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, we also had Hoffman, so
that's also true.
Yeah, there's a precedent of like, that happening here.
So Banks and Shank go to look for Benny at his meth dealer, and they try and send up. They say they're sending up money to get some meth, but it's actually an ink bomb. Mm-hmm. So they bust in, knock him down in a way that manages to break, like, cause a compound fracture.
I don't understand.
This dude's
how this
got
happens.
Brittle bones. This man needs some vitamin D.
He got taken through a fucking coffee table, a glass coffee table, and that caused his shin to just come out of his leg. Like, I don't understand how that happened.
Yeah, brittle bones, man. Yeah. You go to your doctor, talk about some osteoporosis. We need to look into your health, sir.
This is one of the most uncomfortable scenes, though, because they use it as an interrogation tool, because anytime that they don't get an answer, Zeke just takes a bottle of alcohol, pours it on the open bone,
and then hits the bone
with the bottle. Yeah, it's effective.
And like you can tell that William's like really uncomfortable with it because he's like, this is the type of shit that like I'm killing people over.
Yeah. Like, watch out, Zeke might be killing you.
You're next. But he says that the word on the street is that Benny OD'd. Nobody's seen him in like two days.
Yeah.
Then we cut to them saying that John Kramer didn't target cops. Oh, how quickly we forget. Mm-hmm, I get bullshit. That it's been maybe a decade, but you're wrong.
Yep, very wrong. So they are like, okay, Zeke, so do you have any enemies? So, because they're wondering why all these packages are being addressed to him.
Yeah, and William's like, are you being targeted because you're the lead of the case or because you're you?
Yeah.
He goes and looks for his ex-partner, Dunleavy. He's at AA. He's living in the basement of the church. We have a flashback to Pete confirming with the witness that he can positively identify the cop who threw a man off a roof. And this guy is like, yes, officer, I will come testify in court. I can positively ID him. I'm a good citizen. And the cop goes, ba-bang.
All right, you're dead, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have told me that. Don't talk to cops, people.
It's,
yeah, like, just don't do it.
Am I being detained?
Yeah. So, yeah, we got that there. And he's just basically, Pete, I guess that's his name, too. He's just kind of giving Zeke shit for turning him in.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, man, things were wild with Article 8. But, yeah. Like, he's got no remorse. I don't think he's doing AA correctly.
He kind of sounded like those are, like, the good old days. Like, man, Article 8, wild
times.
Yeah,
he's like, remember when you could just kill people?
You just, like, shoot a guy because
back
he saw you kill a guy.
Days.
Yeah, it was awesome. Oh, man, Article 8.
But he, so Zeke asked him where he was the night of Boz's murder, and he goes, oh, God, you're here for that? Okay, yeah, so some guy from AA came in drunk, wanted to fight his sponsor, and I broke his nose. I'm still on probation, but luckily, O'Brien was the one that responded, so he let it slide, you know, like you do.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think that Pete Dunleavy is doing AA correctly.
Fuck this dude. Yeah. So,
Dad is still not home.
Yep.
At 9 a.m., he is trying to call Shank. He has not shown up.
He's late to work, yeah.
Yeah.
And then another package arrives. They tackle the fucking delivery man. Why? He was just doing his job.
This feels very Sisevenin to me when John Doe actually finally walks into the precinct. So I was like, oh shit, is this, for a second I was like, oh, is this gonna actually be the new Jigsaw?
Yeah, that would be hilarious. Yeah,
he's just like, I was just delivering it like I was told to.
What if it was the delivery kid that gave him the food?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it could have been perfect.
Yeah. So O'Brien has a moment where he's like, we need to get Bomb Squad here. And Zeke is like, Angie, you're the head of the department.
Yeah.
Which is, honestly, it's not helping her to like call her out to need to use her power. That also doesn't make her look powerful. So power struggles all around.
That's fucking police politics, I guess.
But it's so funny because he has this whole worry about it being a bomb, and then they moved the package anyway.
It's like they put it right on Shank's desk.
Yeah.
Like, all right, he's the new guy. Let's fuck his stuff up.
It's Mr. Snuggles, except Mr. Snuggles has a new outfit, much like the Emperor. Mm-hmm. And it's made of skin. And it's, don't worry, if you thought maybe, you know, Mr. Snuggles was an all-neutrals person, Mr. Snuggles likes a little branding on his clothing in the form of one tattooed name, Charlie.
Yeah, and there's also I think it's like the card that says, am I getting under your skin? So they check underneath the skin, and they find that there's Constantine paint found inside of it. And that's a clue for Zeke.
Yes, because he and his dad used to go to Constantine Hobby Shop, which is now a butcher shop. And when they go in there, they find a skinned body in the back of the butcher shop that this fully opened and functioning butcher shop hadn't noticed yet.
How do you not notice a fucking body with no skin?
Can you imagine, like, being the teenager or whatever that opened the shop that day and was just, maybe you're like hungover or whatever, you don't do all of your normal opening duties, then that body's found. Like, not only is that traumatic, but you're definitely getting fired because now the boss knows you're not doing your job.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those ones where you just pretend like you didn't see it. You just look at it, stand there for a second, and turn around and be like, I'm not going in there. I'm going to pretend like I never went in there all day today. You can fire me. I don't give a fuck. I'm not getting involved in that shit.
Too much.
Yeah. Okay, so
Garza gets a text from Marcus's phone to check the cold case file. He's got a hunch about what's going on. Meanwhile, Zeke gets a call that another cop has been stabbed by a person in a pig mask. So he goes to check on him. The guy is just hurt and also a little upset with the way Zeke is coming at him, because he's like, because his arm honestly is pretty fucked up.
Yeah,
like those are some deep wounds. He's not feeling good. It's not quite as bad as Anton Yelich. No, that's not his name.
No,
it is
Anton Yelich.
Okay,
yeah,
not quite. I got it mixed up with the baseball player.
Oh, Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. It's a very close, yeah.
It's not quite as bad as Anton Yelich in Green Room, but it's not like a little cut. It's not a scream, misdirection, ghost face cut.
Yeah,
either.
I guess not like a drive-by cutting. Like, he probably stopped there and just, like, gave him a real good one and ran off.
Yeah, if we have the sliding scale, it's right there in the middle.
I'm just also impressed he was able to get away with this. Okay. So there was also a message with the package from before that says, take your head.
Yeah, while you're waiting for another body to fall, I'll take your head.
So, and this is when Zeke realizes take your head means, oh, they're going after Garza.
Yeah, she's the head of the department. So in the file room, the door slams shut and some smoke bombs come out, and basically Angie gets kidnapped. Oh, she's covered for the department, all of their wrongdoings and everything, and she has to sever her spinal cord to avoid hot boiling wax pouring onto her face. Now, if it was going to move her face out of the way, I would understand that. But I really don't understand how this is meant to work.
Because you're going to be paralyzed. You won't be able to move after the fact. It doesn't free you.
Yeah, I don't know what was going
to
happen.
I don't know if they thought this through. And I don't know if it's, I don't know, maybe like, it's meant to be half-assed. I don't know. I feel like that could be interesting, but I feel like they're still trying to play it off as like a competent Jigsaw copycat.
I feel like Josh Solberg is a fan of both House of Wax and Wolf Creek and was like, but what if both?
Well, if he were, then why don't we have J-Pads in this movie?
Why isn't J-Pads in a Saw movie?
Right. Saw 11. Make it happen.
Soxy. Get us some J-pads, and he'd be a great like opening kill.
Oh dude, sexy Soxy.
Sexy Soxy.
Yeah. Oh my god, let's fucking do it. All right, we're going to get the cash cut and the sexy Soxy rolling.
Yeah, please get these hashtags, tweet it. Josh Stolberg, tweet it. Is it Greiter again that's doing Saw 11?
I think so.
Yeah. Just tweet at them, tweet at Lionsgate, tweet at Twisted Pictures. So, Angie's like, fuck you. Like, she's trying to get out, but she's also not trying to sever her spinal cord. Like, she's honestly just really fighting this. And it's cutting her neck, but it's not, she's not putting enough pressure on it to cut her spinal cord.
Yeah, I mean, at that point where you already have your face, like, severely burned, and you've also, like, it's between, like, having a burned face like that and just, like, being paralyzed. Like, I'm just like, just fucking, let's just do this.
She's basically being, like, waterboarded with hot wax.
Because they have the cloth
it's
over
gnarly.
Her face.
Yeah.
And that's going to melt to her face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we see because Zeke has realized what's going on. He comes back in a panic and everybody's like, no, a cop was stabbed. And he goes, no, it's a diversion. They're coming for Angie. So they end up going down to the file room. They have to get the code to get in and it's too late. She's already gone. He does try to do some CPR, but it's not.
I can't believe working. He peeled her face back because it just is peeling the skin off of her face.
J-pads.
Well, yeah, but they thought that he was a wax figure. In this case, it's like, hey, I'm going to save you
no,
by ripping your skin off.
No, because the one guy was like, oh, God, let me get this off of you. Oh, and he's like trying to pull it off, and then the one little tear comes down his face.
That's, yes, but he thought it was a wax figure
at first.
Initially.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And Chris Rock just went in like, I'm ripping that shit off.
So he locks down the precinct and he reviews the footage. 13 minutes are missing. So it's between when she goes down there and when Zeke appears. So
they also check the logs and they notice that Pete is somehow logged into the system and was able to do that.
They're like, he shouldn't still have access. And they're like, well, your dad also, O'Brien says your dad still has access too. And he's got motive. Mm-hmm. And Zeke is like, I will fuck you up.
Yeah, they fight. He's like, where's your dad? And he's like, he's turning in tapes. I don't know.
And he walks 2 feet away and he goes, dad, answer your fucking phone. I can't cover for you anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But while he's doing that call, he gets picked up. Mm-hmm. Marcus is in a building. We cut to him. It's like an abandoned soap factory, I think, is where he is. There's like spirals everywhere.
I call this the spiral zone.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, it's just like a zone. And it's got spirals all over the place.
You know what? That totally tracks as a naming method.
Thank you. So he sees written on the wall, do you want to play a game, Detective Banks? and
he says, let's play a game, motherfucker.
Yeah, he finds like the puppet and then a typewriter, and we don't see what all is on the typewriter. He just gets pignapped.
Yeah, I think it was basically just, you know, saying like, I know you were responsible for Article 8, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, right.
Zeke wakes up and sees someone else is like chained up and hanging in the middle of the room, but he is handcuffed to a pipe and he's got a little hacksaw, and, you know, he does the classic this. And I feel like Chris Rock was really excited about this moment.
Yeah, because he got to do the thing. Yeah. Yeah.
They had talked about doing like a similar like callback to like Danny Glover in the first one. His
Oh yeah.
Yeah, when he gets attacked. But they didn't want to do that. So they did this.
It's convenient that he doesn't have to either break his wrist or chop it off. They gave him a pin.
There's a bobby pin right there. Yeah, so which we find it makes sense when we figure it out later. Yeah. But
well, kind of. Well, I guess it's meant to be a diversion, like it's trying to make you think.
Yeah.
Subversion, I guess I should say. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's actually Pete that's tied up. He has no clue what Zeke is talking about because Zeke's like, did you kill Boz? Did you take my dad? What's going on? Where's your boyfriend at? Is he at the concession stand? Is he getting you jujubes? Are you like jujubes?
Is that the Mad TV guy?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is actually a game for Zeke, apparently. It's like, okay, so here's a piece of shit that you turned in for doing something.
And as you know from talking to him the other day, he has learned absolutely nothing from losing his job. So we're going to throw glass shards at him, and you can just...
you can leave.
Yeah, you can just leave. But he ends up figuring out that there's a key in the trash can, and he's trying to help Pete, but it is too late. This is gnarly.
Yeah,
this is really gross. And then I have a problem because when Zeke walks away, he is way too fucking casual about all of the glass in him. I have stepped on glass, unfortunately, numerous times in my life.
Yeah.
Even a tiny little piece of glass, like, you feel it.
You feel it, but he's also got a bunch of adrenaline going through his system, and you don't realize shit like that while you're hopped up on adrenaline until after the fact.
Well, last time I had a piece of glass in my foot, I went at it with too much adrenaline and I actually broke a fingernail trying to pull it out.
Ugh.
Yeah, you were already in bed and like I was coming to bed and then all of this was happening and I climbed in. And you're like, good night. I was like, I was so grumpy. My foot hurt. I broke a nail. And you were just cuddled up in the bed with the girls.
Just having a good time. Feet all intact. No glass in me. Living the life. Yeah, man. Yeah, and also glass makes you bleed like a motherfucker.
Yes. I do appreciate that they gave him like some swelling around some of the wounds, but this should have been, he should have had more of a reaction, even with the adrenaline.
Yeah, like as soon as he walks out of the room trying to play it cool, he's just like, ah! But no, instead he just kind of casually walks into the next room where Shank is just kind of casually waiting for him.
Yeah, so his dad, Charlie, was the witness that Pete Dunleavy shot. He doesn't actually have a wife or a son. This isn't his real name, but somehow he managed to go through the academy, get assigned to his precinct, and assigned as his partner. He killed Benny and used him for the fake skinning trap after he, you know, did his whole thing luring Boz into the subway system.
And he tattooed his Charlie on him.
Yeah, so he also had to learn how to tattoo in the meantime with all of this.
Oh, man, I'm just imagining him going through like the whole boot camp for cops, and he's also an apprentice at a tattoo shop.
They're like, man, when do you sleep? And he goes, you know, when you're passionate.
I'm also sleep training Charlie, fucking Charlie. Just Tobin.
Okay, so when he borrowed Zeke's phone, he used that to text Marcus and then like blocked them from being able to contact each other. He offers to take care of the dirty cops as long as Zeke finds them, and he's like, listen, you failed my first test because you tried to help Pete Dunleavy, that piece of shit. But here's your next chance. And beforehand, let me do this. So he calls 911. He goes, shots fired at the old soap factory. I need somebody here. He goes, you have 4 minutes to complete this. Your dad will die in 3 minutes because he is being fully exsanguinated.
And he also fires off 4 rounds.
Yeah.
The gun that he has there. Yeah.
So basically he tells in the next room, they lock the door. He's like, you can shoot down that target. It'll let your dad free. He'll stop bleeding out. And his dad's like, no, you need to shoot this motherfucker. And then SWAT's there. They're trying to come in. And so it's like this whole clusterfuck. So he ends up shooting the target down. So that way his dad gets down. Mm-hmm. But William has been doing something on the side with a cable.
Yeah.
And then he tries to get away in a little crate cart. What are they?
Crate like a little elevator. Crate elevator. Yeah. I don't know what they're called. But
it's like a service elevator type thing. But so Zeke follows him in there. Starts fighting him.
He tackles him.
Yeah.
SWAT team's buzzsawing through the door there.
When they hit the wire, the cable that William strung up, it causes Marcus to get pulled back up. And this is when we see that the things on his arms are actually guns. Mm. And his arms are getting pulled up and start firing, which means that the SWAT's going to shoot him.
Yep. And they unload on him. They got shotguns. They got assault rifles. They got handguns. They're just putting every single bullet
into him. I feel like Josh Stolberg watched Unfriended Dark Web and was like, swatting. So we're doing swatting in horror movies?
Yeah, okay.
Bet.
Hey, it is an actual thing that's been going on here lately.
Yeah. And so Zeke, runs out and he's like trying to make them stop. But, you know, it's very much too late. And then the elevator's going down and William just looks at him and does a little
How the fuck did nobody notice? Like, that, you know that they would be checking the area in case there's anybody else there, right?
Yeah.
But they see this motherfucker just taking an elevator, just going
Yeah, they're like, it's fine.
Yeah, come on. It's so stupid. and that's the end of the movie.
That's how it ends.
And then we get the best fucking song. We get
I'm gonna make a spin and like a spiral. And it's really cool. So it's a bop. A banger, if you will.
Spiral.
And we listen to it constantly. But
21 Savage.
Re-listening to it on the closed credits last night, it's way more orchestral. It's like Charlie Clouser, like, amped up that part of it. It's really cool.
Yeah, you get more of that bum 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 bum. But I fucking love that song. It's so good. I listen to it casually.
You've probably heard us, like, casually sing it in older episodes because we do drop it sometimes. Spiral.
Piranha. Okay, so that's the end of the movie.
That's the end. You know what? I'm going to bump it up to an 8.
Okay, cool.
You were right the first time.
Yeah, I'm keeping it at an 8. Yeah, I like this movie a lot. It does some fun new things. It does some fun of the familiar things. And it's just like a good, it's fresh. I like it. It was a good time to go in a newish direction with this series, I think.
Yeah, and it you can tell it was done with like love and respect.
I'm glad that Chris Rock is a fan of the series too, because you know that he's coming at this from like a true perspective.
Yes, and I feel like I spent so much of my life watching Chris Rock in various different things, so it was nice seeing him
and do something different. It's really cool. It's so out of the norm, but I really, really appreciate it. It's also super cool having Sam Jackson.
Yes, I like, we blessed to live in this in this particular universe.
We didn't talk about in the flashback, well, I guess we did before, where he had the backwards cap on, but
we talked about that plenty.
Discuss the change.
Oh, okay.
We need to at least have something that we would change.
I would probably do something different with all the flashback sequences. I need them to be meaningful each time they happen.
That's true.
And not be repetitive.
I wanted more Mr. Snuggles. Because Billy is such like a big presence in the series, and Mr. Snuggles is just there a few times.
I want something traumatic, a traumatic display of Mr. Snuggles, kind of like Billy in Jeff's Game and the trike.
Oh, yeah. I want a future movie to like have both Billy and Mr. Snuggles together.
Oh my god. Okay. I want a full moon feature of Billy versus Mr. Snuggles.
Oh, dude. That would be awesome. I would love that.
Is that our sequel? I know we don't do sequels for this, but this is our dream sequel.
Yeah, let's just do it. Because this is like a spinoff from that. Let's just do this. Yeah. This right here. That's a dream sequel for this series right here.
Okay.
Dude, that would be so cool. Like dueling copycat killers.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is my fucking territory. And they try and get each other. Oh, fuck yeah. That would be awesome. Okay. Okay, so Talia,
she was pretty sleepy throughout it.
She was very sleepy.
She was, yeah, I mean, it was a big weekend for her, so
she tired herself out big time.
But I will tell you that generally she really likes this movie because she's also a huge fan of Sam Jackson. We watch a lot of that motherfucker in this house.
That is true, yes.
I'm gonna say she gives it an 8. Because right after this, you know what she did? What? She ate.
She did. You're right. Yeah.
Okay. So we've already decided that for Zoe, we're changing it up with her. because she's been generally watching the movies with us. So who do you think Zoe believes is the superior hunter in this movie?
I think that she believes probably, well, shit, I don't know, it's tough.
I've got this.
I was going to say Sam Jackson's character, Banks.
Okay, what is your rationale for that?
Well, he makes it to the spiral zone. Okay. He's running around in the dark, and Zoe does that a lot whenever she's hunting stuff.
My thought process is similar, that it would be Marcus Banks, but because he was shouting the whole time he was hunting, and that's what Zoe does.
In the dark.
Yeah, whenever Zoe's hunting in the dark, she screams the entire time. She goes, meow, meow.
And then whenever you go and say, hey, Zoe, she always looks embarrassed. She's like, oh, hey.
Did you hear that?
Who was doing that?
That's weird, right?
Yeah, it's a ghost, maybe? I don't know. Okay.
So, who did you relate to?
That's a good question.
It's part of the show.
That is part of the show. That's why we did it, because we only do good questions on the show, obviously. Shit, man. It's kind of a tough one. Well, I will relate to Shank, because I have also taken, like, I've had an interest in being a tattoo artist, and I feel like he didn't have to do that, but he's like, if I'm going to go there, I'm going to, like, have fun with it. I'm going to go and learn how to tattoo also.
Okay.
I feel like he just, like, was looking for an excuse to learn a tattoo.
It was just, like, a fun side project for him.
Like, why would I ever want a tattoo? Well, obviously, I have a son, and, you know, he cries all the time, and I got to tell people about him. So, and I got to have a tattoo of him, because I love that motherfucker.
Well, it's also his dad's name, so.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Never mind. And also love my dad. Either way, the tattooing thing. Yeah, that's funny.
Okay. I think I relate to both the delivery person with the food and the hungover kid at the butcher shop, because like there are some days that you're just like, I don't have the energy to deal with it. I don't get paid enough for this shit.
Well, you're not the guy. I've been standing here for like half an hour, so take it. I don't care who gets at this point.
Okay.
All right. New tagline.
He's turning this around. Because it's like turning around like what the meaning of the spiral is, and it's also turning around like a spiral. That's a deep
one. Yeah. It's turning around.
Yeah.
That's pretty deep.
And then you can also like go into some Bonnie Tyler after that if you're feeling froggy.
That's true.
I'm always froggy for Bonnie Tyler. Except for in Dial Code Santa.
That's a great scene. It's actually a hard scene to watch, but boy grew up. Nobody knows what we're talking about unless you guys have seen Deadly Games.
We talked about Santa that.
Quads. Yeah, but who? Not everybody's listened to that or seen that
that's
movie.
That's probably true.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So,
which trap do you think you'd survive from this?
This is a tough one, man, because all the traps suck and they're all really tough to win. I think. I mean, I'm gonna go with.
I'm not ripping out my tongue, and I'm not ripping off my thingies, and
I'm not going to be paralyzed.
So I guess I'd have to do the glass one, which would suck, but, you know.
The thing is, that's not even anything for you. You just have to be like...
No, I'm thinking about it from Zeke's perspective.
Oh, where you have to go over there and unlock it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I could do that. I think I could do that.
It would suck. It would suck.
See,
but...
I'm trying to rationalize the decision here, so like... With the tongue. All right. I'd have to learn, like, sign language.
Well, and also, like what they were saying in the special, it's not just going to be your tongue that comes out. It's so much more.
Yeah. Yeah. They mentioned that, like,
and, like, that's also, like, it's a whole entire, like, torture method, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't do that.
Fingers, like, I don't know. Can I get some bionic fingers, like, on my hand? And just
not
like,
on a cop salary. Does this count as workers' comp?
Does this...
If you were kidnapped while working the case and injured but survive, is that workers' comp?
It's kind of related to work because he was targeted because he's a cop.
Exactly. But he's also investigating the case.
Yeah, I think it should. No, whether or not they'll allow it, I don't know. They're all kind of crooked people over there. I think I could, like, sign up for some experimental, like, give me some, like, weird fingers or something. I don't know. Give me something. Or I'll be a Powerpuff Girl. Like, I'll have knobs, you know what I mean? Like,
just Professor, your hands are weird.
I'll just strap some Velcro to, like, my... just, yeah, there we go. Yeah, it's got to be the glass. I think it's got to be the glass.
Okay.
All right, now time for internet review. Jesse, what you got?
Well, I know that we're both fans of this. Okay. So I found what is technically a 4 out of 10 on IMDb.
Okay.
I thought they brought, and I know we always talk about the suspension of disbelief in this, but I do think these are some interesting points that we didn't discuss ourselves.
Okay.
Rock dreadfully miscast plays Detective Zeke Banks, who is the focus of a campaign of terror by a serial killer who seems to be emulating the infamous John Kramer, aka Jigsaw. Only this time the victims are corrupt cops. How topical. Banks is sent parcels in the post by the new killer, leading him from one gruesome discovery to another. In the opening scene, the trap is situated above a subway line, the victim given the option of losing his tongue or losing his life. Did no one making this film question the logic of installing a complex mechanical device above an operational railway line? How long would the device have taken to assemble? Did no trains pass by on those days? Was the third rail electrified the whole time?
Oh my god. It's just so dumb. You're so right.
But not as dumb as the trap that the maniac somehow manages to assemble in the police evidence room. It pumps boiling wax onto the victim's face, thus requiring a power supply and some heavy-duty equipment, yet is installed without a hitch. No one interrupting the presumably noisy work, and nobody questioning the presence of such a device. And I gotta love the following scene for the wrong reasons. Zeke picks the lock on his handcuffs using a hairpin and then protects himself from high-velocity shards using a dustbin. This person has got to be British.
A dustbin. What the fuck?
Firstly, picking a lock is not that simple. It can be done, but it takes practice and time. Secondly, that bin ain't protecting him. There's glass flying everywhere, but that's okay. What's a few deep flesh wounds to a tough guy like Zeke? The ill-considered script also holds a few surprises regarding the identity of the killer. As soon as Detective William Shank was declared dead without showing how he was killed or why he was chosen, I knew I had my man, and sure enough, one might say I saw that coming.
Hey.
3.5 out of 10, generously rounded up to 4 for the finger trap, which is undeniably nasty.
I like that review. That was awesome. Yeah. Really well.
They had a part about the puppet, but I'm not including that because we've already discussed the puppet at length.
Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, that is some good things. I agree. Like, we talked about the basement, like the evidence room where they had that one, but I never even thought about the subway one before.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like another train would have hit that.
Yeah. Like, unless it was like, how did he hang it up? Like, yeah, I've got a lot of questions and I need a making of, but like a mockumentary type making of the traps. That's a fun idea.
That is a fun idea.
Fan film idea if anybody wants to work on that.
Oh, we can do that. Okay.
Okay.
All right, internet reviews.
Okay. You mean listener reviews?
Oh yes, listener reviews. You just did the internet review. That's right. Yep. Okay. So we got a couple here. We'll start off on Instagram. CubeSafe says, backwards hats always make you look younger.
Fact.
Facts, for sure. I mean, throw in a mustache or a goatee and you're golden. You look like a little baby.
That's why Travis looks like he's about 18 years old most of the time. Yeah. Backwards cap and a mustache are his things.
People don't know this simple trick.
Yeah.
It gets you far in the world.
Doctors hate this one simple trick.
Michael Lee Howard says, oh, Spiral. I wanted to really love this one. I've seen it now 4 times, and I'm just not the biggest fan.
Aww.
I feel like this was a great detective movie. If we had left it at that, I would have enjoyed it much better. The traps are not very exciting, and the plot is meh. The Jigsaw voice was very odd. All in all, not a favorite, but being a Saw fan, I will bump it a couple of notches. I'm going with a solid 6.25 for this. I'm hoping that when I listen to the show, I may feel different.
Okay.
Well, maybe we've convinced you.
Yeah, maybe. And you know what? I get it. Like, if you want more of an actual, like, real Saw film.
Yeah.
I get that. Now that I've seen it, I always go into it as, like, I know that it's not Saw.
Yeah.
But it is, but it's not.
Adjusted expectations.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you would have by now since you've watched this, like, 4 times, too. So you know what you're getting. But, yeah. But
I definitely see what you're saying, that if, like, you're in the mood for a Saw movie, depending on what you mean by that, this isn't going to be your first one that you go for.
Yeah, generally, whenever I say to you, let's put on a song, this one isn't usually on the table. Like, I'm wanting one of the classics. Yeah. Like,
usually, when you're like, when you want to watch this, you say, let's watch Spiral.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for when I'm wanting to watch a Saw movie, I'm putting it between like 2 through 6.
Yeah, 2 through 6 are the ones that we tend to rotate through the most.
Yeah. And probably socks when we get that. I'm going to be buying that soon. That way we have it. Yeah, because we need it for next month.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Okay. Over on Twitter, Aquili Boob says, I was so out of the Saw loop when I watched this one. I hadn't seen any since 4, I think. Really enjoy this one, though. That opening scene, brutal. The traps are intense, and that reveal. I'll be honest, I would have taken Shink's offer. Dirty cops gotta go. Hey, man, you know what? Like, it's a... That's chaotic good right there. That's the bad good. But he's trying to do a good thing. It's just very misguided.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like a thing where like they're still running on Article 8 and they're killing people at random, like, yeah, I guess like it's time to just, you know, fight back in that case. But, you know, in this situation, he's just, you know, he's like, yeah, they kind of suck and they killed my dad, so I'm going to kill everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit of revenge and it's a little bit of cleaning up the system. And I think it's really funny that we've had all of this talk about loving the Saw movies and then people coming into this and not loving it because it doesn't feel like Saw. So yeah. I think it's interesting that if you haven't watched all of them and then you watch this, being like, oh, yeah, I really like this.
That is kind of cool because it's also like...
A different perspective
like,
on it.
Well, that and also, like, I feel like people are probably like, well, I can jump in on this one. I'm not going to be missing anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's true. You could watch this one and not watch any of the other Saw movies and be totally fine.
It's kind of like when we're doing the Hunger Games movies watch through and you're like, wouldn't we start with the prequel? And I was like, no.
Yeah. It makes more sense after the fact, after yeah. watching all the others.
Yeah, there's too much that's in there, but this isn't necessarily like that.
No, this is a spinoff.
Yeah, this could up. You could just watch it on its own and it'd be fine.
Yeah. Okay, and final reviews from Tyler. I had the hardest time with this entry. Some of the traps were good. The broken glass cannon was insane. I didn't like Chris Rock's character. The villain reveal was mad at me. And how the hell did Sam Jackson get here? May require a second watch, but I was disappointed. Those are all good questions.
Yeah. I think it's a movie that's better on the second watch because, like, you know, you already know that you know what's going to happen instead yeah. of just being kind of like bummed out that you figure it out or like trying to understand the characters. Like you can just turn your brain off and go along for the ride.
Yeah. And I like the traps in this one. I wouldn't necessarily go to this movie if I'm looking for a Saw movie with good traps, but I would go to this one if I wanted a Saw movie that was a little bit more grounded and plot. I mean, even though this movie's not very grounded, but like it's more plot driven.
There's a lot more plot to this than in a typical Saw movie.
Like the other one's like a soap opera, but it's always like following them going through these trap mazes and then also like a little bit of detective stuff on the side. This one focuses way more on the detective aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's our reviews there.
Okay.
All right. So next week. Well, this weekend we have a To Be or Not To Be brought to you by Jesse. Mm-hmm. And following next week, Scary Movie.
Scary Movie. That was our Patreon vote. And I do believe that we are going to bring fellow podcaster and our favorite Canadian, Steve from The Decision Reel.
Yep,
One of his favorites. And we knew whenever the time came to cover this that we couldn't have anyone else.
Every movie has always led to a discussion about Scary Movie somehow. So yeah, this is like, it's all been building up to this right here.
Right now, you can watch Scary Movie on Sling TV, Max, YouTube Primetime, Hulu Premium, Prime Premium, YouTube TV Premium, or you can rent it from Google Play or Fandango at home.
Also, I want to stress this wasn't planned because they were rebooting the series. This is just like a happy coincidence.
Yeah, it just happened. Like we threw up a couple of horror comedies for the vote for our budget patrons, and this is the one that won, and it just... That I think it was like that same day we saw the announcement that they're rebooting it.
Oh, I just saw it this past week.
Oh, no, I saw it. I saw it like shortly after.
Oh, really?
The vote was done. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited. It's a really fun movie. So, it's going to be a good time. So,
yeah.
Watch it if you can. and come check back next Thursday. And
And if you haven't watched it in a while, I'd honestly recommend watching it again, because it's one of those that you're like, I feel like it's dumb humor that I liked back then, but then you watch it and you're like, it is dumb humor that I liked back then, but it's actually still pretty fucking funny now.
It's the one that hits. It's the stuff that lasts. You know what I mean? That's the shit right there that shaped your sense of humor as a kid.
Yeah. And I mean, the Wayans brothers are just...
They're so funny.
They're so fucking funny. Yeah, they're great. It's a good time. We watch the... Honestly, about as much as we watch the Saw movies, we'll go through the first three scary movies.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
All right.
And in the meantime, you can find us on our social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram and Threads, at Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. And we're on Twitter and Blueski, at Least Fave Pod. We also have a website, which is leastfavoritescarymovie.com. And you can email us if you don't want to contact us through social media, at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We want to also take the time to thank our patrons who make things super possible for us, like keeping our website on, getting new equipment, like our mic stands and our sticker printer. So those wonderful bubbies of ours are Joe
Fictron,
as is his name, Amber, Michael, Lord Zombie, and Tyler.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Yeah, we truly appreciate your all support. It means so much to us.
Yeah, it really makes a big difference. And we love that you guys are loving some of the perks. And if you want to know about our Patreon, the link to it is in the bottom of our show notes. So just
We'll have an episode coming soon. It's getting close to a new episode.
Yeah, it's getting close to bonus time for our budget tier patrons. Mm-hmm. So that we just really appreciate you guys. If you want to contribute to the show non-financially, you can do it super easily. Whatever you're listening on, just give us a rating and give us a follow. That tells the algorithm that we're great. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go a step further, you can write a little quick review for us. That way other people know why you like us.
Yeah. Or if all that's too much and you just happen to see us post something on social media, just like comment, like it, and share it.
Yeah.
Because it's nice. It lets other people know that we exist and, share the good word.
And I mean, we have seen, as podcast listeners ourselves, that is how we've discovered new podcasts, is somebody will just share something. We're curious. We go listen to it. But it's also brought people to our show. Somebody will share something about a movie. Somebody will be like, oh my God, I love this movie. I'm going to check this episode out. And then they go back and listen to other episodes. And it just becomes a whole thing. And we're just trying to have a happy little horror bubby family. So
if you're one of those people, hello. Thank you for being here and sticking around.
Thank you.
That's really cool. all right, so I think that's it for Spiral. So we will see you guys with our To Be or Not To Be coming out this weekend.
All right, until next time.
Bye. Bye.
Can tell you enough. I've been on two.